Shall we rise for the reading of God's word? Today's sermon is coming from Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. Now it came about when all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard how the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan before the sons of Israel until they had crossed, that their hearts melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the sons of Israel. Thank you. You may be seated.
The book of Joshua is about entering into the promises of God. How do you do that? How do you actually embrace the promises that he has in store for us? Well, the book of Joshua is showing us in a very tangible way what this looks like, so that when you come into the spiritual realm, you understand what happens by virtue of embracing the promises that God has in store for us. As we've been going through the book of Joshua, what we've seen at the very beginning in chapter 1 is that there are fundamental keys for success. If we were to summarize those fundamental keys, it would be believe, trust in God, be bold about that faith. If you look with me in Joshua chapter 1, you'll see certain phrases are repeated over and over again. Those phrases sound something like this: be strong and courageous. The point is that you're putting your complete trust in God. The point of that is that it's impossible for you to be successful if you're not putting trust in God. If you look at the repetition of this, it says in verse 6, be strong and courageous. You shall give this people the possession of the land, which I promised you. The promises are there. But only, verse 7, be strong and very courageous, to be careful to do whatever I tell you to do. Now, that's part of faith. A part of faith and trusting in God is believing that it's by his rules, and when he tells you to do something, you do it, and you know that there's great reward. Even though it doesn't make sense, perhaps, in your mind at that particular juncture, you know that God is right. And so you put all of your trust, and boldly put all of your trust in God. When Scripture says, be anxious for nothing, guess what you do? You obey him. I'm not anxious for anything. So it goes on and says, I want you to meditate on these things, and if you'll make these things the focus of your life, if you look at the end of verse 8, then I'll make your way prosperous, and you will be a success. That's the promise. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Okay, so he's repeated it again. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Would it surprise you that this particular chapter actually ends, only be strong and courageous? The point is that there needs to be a boldness about our faith and our trust in God. If, in fact, you want to have success in your life, you're going to have to walk by faith and do it boldly, confidently, assuredly, without any doubt. James chapter 1 says you can't be doubting. You'd be like the surf of the sea. And you can't expect that you receive anything from the Lord being a double-minded man and unstable in all your ways. You must really put all of your trust in him. First John chapter 5 tells us that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Putting your complete trust in God, faith, is what brings about victory in your life. I mean, this stuff either works or it doesn't, but you see it repeated over and over again in Scripture, so it must be the main point. Jeremiah chapter 17, cursed is the man who trusts in man or mankind or the things that he can do. Blessed is the man who puts his trust in the Lord. And all the way through Scripture, you see this. Of course, Hebrews chapter 11 will tell you, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must believe that he is and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Faith is really the key to success, and that bold living in that sense of, I trust God. People are going to scratch their head. They're going to look at you and they're going to go, what in the world are you doing? I just trust God. Aren't you afraid? Aren't you ashamed of trusting God? No, I'm not ashamed. In fact, you should be ashamed not trusting God. we should really turn the tables on them, because the world wants to make you feel guilty for doing the right thing. There is an interesting point in chapter 2, and just kind of walking you through these chapters, so as we come into chapter 5, you can see the progression in all of this. In chapter 2, what is very clear is that man has a tendency, once he has a facsimile of success in his life, to start flying by the seat of his pants. He starts making decisions according to what he thinks, oh, this will probably work, and, you know, utilitarian thoughts come into his head, and pragmatism, and this is probably the way to do it. And he starts, instead of, you know, asking God, what would you have? Because what has been clear at the very beginning is, do what I tell you to do. But, you know, we've got a little success, so why not? What you understand in chapter 2 is that even though God may give you divine latitude, some space, it's not a license to do what is wrong, and it's not God approving of what you're doing is wrong. And oftentimes that latitude and that license that we take puts us in precarious places. We find ourselves, of course, according to the passage, hiding behind bales of hay or flax. The point of the matter is that we're not walking in confidence. We're not walking in bravery. We're not walking in boldness. Why? Because we've made our own decisions. And the thought is that, well, it's kind of working, so we tend to go on in that. But, you know, 1 Corinthians 10 reminds us of the fact that you want to be cautious and careful not to think that you've got it from here. If you think you're going to stand, you need to what? Take heed lest you fall. It's at that particular point where you go, I think I got it from here, God. That's when you get into this precarious place. And I think chapter 2 is kind of a warning. It's revealing to us that you want to start off with that boldness of faith. You want to continue in that boldness of faith. You have to put your trust in God. And that's what one of the great themes of the book of Corinthians, or Galatians, as Paul is writing to the Galatians. He says, look, you began in the Spirit of God. Then you started going back in the flesh. Why did you do that? And we find ourselves messing up. So chapter 2 is kind of a hiccup in the process, and Scripture is reminding us, get back on the path, be bold and courageous in the things that God tells you to do, and you won't have anything to fear. And, of course, we know as we follow this passage through, and they begin to come around the realm of Jericho, that they're going to surround Jericho with virtually no weapons, and they're just going to make a bunch of noise. And that's like painting a target on yourself. And yet there's a boldness that God declares, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bring these walls down. I'm going to handle this. And so none of it really makes any sense, but we put our trust in God, and that makes tremendous sense, that we know that he's got this. As you come to chapter 3, you realize that crossing this Jordan is a necessary ingredient to attaining the promises of God. That is to say, you've got to go through the waters. It was true with Noah. It was true with Moses. It's true with Joshua. Literally, it was true with Elijah. You probably don't remember, the waters were parted more than once. Water, of course, was parted with Moses as he crossed the Red Sea. It was parted with Joshua, pushed up, but it was also parted for Elijah before he was taken up in heaven, as he takes his mantle and throws it in 2 Kings chapter 2. So all the way through, what it's revealing to us is you've got to go through the waters. Well, the waters, interestingly described as we come into the New Testament, as baptism. Romans chapter 6 is probably one of the best passages for you to read in this regard. And what it refers to is that baptism is this wonderful picture of you dying to yourself. You come to a point of realizing that in you dwells no good thing.